are watching Radio Free Cybertron with your hosts, Brian Kilby, J.D. Church, Rob Springer, John DeLuna, Lady Rick, Bweebum, featuring XV.
Brian Kilby here with you. Crazy stuff going on. Crazy stuff. Rob is not here. No one's here, actually, but us. Peter, a.k.a. Bweebum, John DeLuna, and XV. I don't have John's charisma. I can't pull that off, so I'm just trying.
Energy, man. Yeah. Energy.
Yes.
Project.
Rob and JD are not here. Amy will be here via tape delay.
So, the magic of technology.
The magic of technology.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is, I guess, the post-Toy Fair shows. There's going to be kind of a lull, and I'm not saying don't watch, but there's going to be kind of a lull between now and BotCon as far as news goes. So,
We'll be fine next week.
We'll be fine, yeah. But, you know, like the big torrent of news kind of gone. Actually, I think we're going to focus on Toy Fair because Bweebum, Peter, was actually there. He was our correspondent. We didn't get a chance to speak with him after BotCon or Toy Fair this year, right after the show like we did last year. So we're gonna actually get firsthand accounts later on. But I guess we're going to go ahead and jump into some news. So the BotCon Twitter feed revealed that Wild Rider is the lockdown mold with a new head. Huh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there will be a fourth head that will be either they said the fourth head will be for the attendee figure.
Ah, man.
Wow. How about that?
Well, that's different, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
it's kind of crummy.
You think so? Well, you're going.
Well, I mean, I guess it's okay. I mean, it's all about attending, right? I guess they want to encourage that.
Yeah, I mean,
so,
of course they do. I mean, that you know, they want that, you know, if you can't go, of course they want you to buy the set, the non-attendee package, but you know, they want
it's
you there.
Okay. I'll just wait 5 years and the attendee figure will be in my local comic shop for $4.
Well, yeah, that's absolutely true.
Only happens to you.
Only happens to XV. But yeah, so that's pretty cool. Okay, let's go ahead and talk about this. I think this is pretty awesome. The we got pictures of the Dinobot mini-con set, which honestly looks pretty flippin' sweet, I do have to admit. I want that, especially the Sabertooth Tiger, because that's my favorite dinosaur.
Yeah, I have no compulsion to have those mini-con molds more than once.
You don't?
No.
I think they look nice. They're, you know, they're G1.
I didn't really care for any of the Cybertron-era mini-cons.
Well, you know, being in G1 colors, they're going to make someone cry in their basement, you know, for hours. Uh-huh. So, I mean, we, you know, expect that. Of course, we're also getting another shared exclusive mini-con 3-pack. Also looks nice, but not quite as nice.
They're not Dinobots.
They're not Dinobots.
Yeah.
Dinobots are...
Like, who are these guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, not bad. Not bad, but, you know, for $15 for 3 mini-cons, a little steep. A little steep.
Yes. Very steep.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. So we got scan of Transformers United Wave 3. What is this from?
It's from a hobby magazine.
Do we know which one? Does it matter? It doesn't matter. But
I don't know off the top of my head, but I can probably find it quickly.
But you know, they look nice. I mean, it's the same sort of thing with a different, you know, different finish. Nothing new.
Yeah, not significantly different. I mean, they. I don't think they.
Well, Rekgar is.
Is he?
What's different about Rekgar?
All of his colors.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. He's brighter. He's certainly brighter. Oh, his face is way different. That's one thing.
His face is silver. He's red instead of brown.
I don't have it, so I don't have a firm grasp on what the Rekgar RTS toy looks like. So, or is it Generations or RTS?
It's Reveal the Shield.
Okay.
Yeah, RTS.
And up.
Or it still says the rub fine on the ankle.
Oh yeah.
On the ankle.
Yeah, on the ankle.
You know what his rub sign should be? It should be on his butt. It should be like a tramp stamp. And you have to rub his ass to get...
Nice.
Yeah. Just well, yeah, except there's a lot of molded detail on Rekgar's butt. So, I mean, there wouldn't be a nice flat surface for the rub sign to stick on.
We also got stock images this week of Wave 4, but, you know, it's...
Wave 4 is probably the least different outside of their version of little miniature Prime.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and... Let's see here. What would you say is the most... we'll show Prime.
Yeah.
Little mini Prime. Isn't he cute?
The only upside to this is that the blue plastic they're using for the translucent parts will probably light pipe better than the orange the Hasbro version has. Because it just doesn't work that good.
So you found Prime this week and you don't dig it?
No, not really. I can't get it to hold the sword at all.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, really?
The hand is entirely too small for the handle of the sword, and the handle of the sword is not even 5 millimeter. It's slightly smaller. I mean, it fits perfectly in Grimlock's hand, which is even undersized for classics.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's.
I don't hate that mold. I don't love it. He's definitely too small. So I mean, the scaling's kind of weird. And I guess mine holds his sword fine, but there's always, like, you know, tolerances and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even get it close with any level of force I'm comfortable with applying to the toy.
Yeah, that's... I don't have that problem, but that's unfortunate. It's unfortunate.
And, you know, after the incidences with Rekgar, I'm kind of wary of that kind of stuff at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, my review of him is he's tiny, basically. You know? If you like him, that's great.
Do you like just the look of it?
I mean, he's tiny, but when you don't have him directly next to any other figures, he doesn't really feel that small.
But, you know, I really feel gypped if we're talking about tiny. Look at Masterpiece Rodimus. I mean, he's, you know, about the size of a scout, just a little bit bigger. That's crazy.
Yeah.
What?
That's craziness. No, it's Revoltech Rodimus. I just got it in the mail today. I paid $6 for this, so it's about what it's worth.
Well, he really is tiny.
Yeah, he is tiny.
That.
No, Masterpiece Rodimus. Actually, I like Revoltech Rodimus better. I am in the minority, but I am afraid
he's not falling apart.
No, he is. We'll talk about that later. We actually covered that in the Toy Fair show this weekend, but I didn't have it last week to really share my thoughts. Didn't get it till the next day, so we'll talk about that later on. Let's see here. What else do we have going on in the news this week? We have our pal in the chat. Trax shared that the Dark of the Moon Transformers 3 stars will be Grand Marshals
at thanks Trax
at the Daytona 500. Oh yeah,
yes,
yeehaw,
yeehaw! It's gonna be awesome.
It's awesome. So is Bumblebee gonna be out there, or are they gonna do some goofy like
Bumblebee is gonna go out? Yeah, Bumblebee's gonna be out there, and he's gonna be around track lap 500. He's going to be taking the checkered flag, and it's going to be pretty fantastic. And the Autobots are going to be victorious once again. Yes, no, not
once
really.
Again.
Not, yeah, no, nah, I don't know. I don't give a crap about NASCAR. I don't.
The only time I would care is if like one pit crew dressed up like G1 construction workers.
That would be awesome, sir.
Yes. Now I will watch for that.
I only care about the SportsCenter highlights.
I don't even care about that.
Mm.
But the crashes, that's all the highlights that they're...
Yeah. But, yeah, taking a look at the chat, not a lot going on. Just for a week.
Well, you know what? When you posted the Minicon repaints, there's love and hate there. There's some love and hate. Some people don't like those molds. I mean, I think the paint job is commendable, but the Dinobot... Minicons or the Dino Minicons aren't universally liked purely as a toy. I've never had them, so I can't say. I'll probably buy these, I guess.
So, you know, I can't hate to say it, but a lot of the stuff that we're covering is stuff that we kind of covered during the Toy Fair show. One thing though that came out after the show last week was the first episode of Transformers Prime, and I figure the people who as a Saturday didn't have a chance to see it probably have seen it by now, so we can probably get a little spoilery in it. What did you guys think?
I'll go first. My major problem is I just hope it's not a recurring theme, because it was basically a Monster of the Week show, which I wasn't expecting. So I guess I assumed probably wrongly that Transformers Prime is going to be, I don't know, maybe somewhat of a character piece or some kind of Beast Wars-ish where you get like this fairly small roster of characters and you kind of stick with them for a while. But this was one of those episodes where, you know, literally a new character shows up. It's kind of monstrous, kind of conflicted, but we don't really hear why or appreciate why, because he's dead like 20 minutes later. He's gonzo.
Yeah.
So I hope that doesn't happen a lot.
What, Peter?
Well, it probably won't with the Autobots.
Yeah,
they already killed the Rock. That's like worth five Autobots.
Yeah. You know, I didn't hate it. I didn't hate it at all. I didn't love it, but it's certainly better than a lot of the other stuff we've gotten, you know. It's impossible to tell from one episode. One episode doesn't make a trend, but it very well could be. Since this is the first episode, and a character just shows up out of the blue to wreak havoc, it really could be a Monster of the Week show. But what we should expect from that is a large roster of characters, which is something that we haven't gotten a lot of. I mean, if that's the case. Because Transformers Prime had a pretty core cast, even with the Decepticons. Mm-hmm. So it would be nice to get a series that actually has a lot of characters. If nothing else, just for toy fodder. And that's really the reason we're here, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What'd you think of his voice, Skyquake's voice?
It didn't really stand out. He for some reason, and I know he didn't sound like him, but he reminded me a lot of Death Charge, just the character.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For a big hulking character, I guess I was expecting kind of a booming voice and a little bit more, I guess, bigness to his character, but it really wasn't, you know, there.
Well, I mean, he didn't have like a high pitched girly voice.
No.
No, but that would have been awesome.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
He has to go to one extreme or the other.
Yeah, like Mike Tyson.
Yeah, exactly. With a space in the middle of his teeth.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. He could be an homage.
We
bites off Bumblebee's ear.
Has anyone actually read this preview of episode 7 or the new episode? I don't care. We'll get to it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Does that mean, are you looking forward to the episode, or are you just not interested in, and you're just not interested in like this kind
of
preview?
You know, I guess for posterity, because people will probably be finding this 2 or 3 months down the road. You know, I don't think people want to hear previews of stuff that, you know, hasn't come out yet. Or mm-hmm. as of now, but is history by then. So I don't know. I just try to think in terms of, you know, when people come across something, what do they care about? You know, if for people who tune, like we get a lot of listens the first week. We get nearly as many the second week, and by the, you know, we really kind of peter out, so to speak, after you know, downloads after a couple months. So I'm not too worried about talking about stuff that hasn't come out yet, unless it's big like Dark of the Moon, but an episode of Prime that we know nothing about. You know,
right? How will we ever find out what this episode's about? We'll never know.
We'll have to watch.
Oh, so here's a big question. Here's a question for you, then, Brian. This kind of brings up. So we're 6 episodes in, and granted, like 5 were the introductory story, but still, I mean, we've seen a good bit of Prime. So what's your excitement level like week to week? Like, is it still a show that you're looking forward to,
or kind of
just settled in?
You know, I'm looking forward to it. It's not like it's something that I'm just dying to see, but I want to see it. I'm driven to watch it. I'm not driven away like the Unicron trilogy, where I actively was proud of not watching it. I was like, I'm a good Transformers fan by not watching this crap. You know, I think Transformers Prime, it's competently done. I don't, you know, I see nothing but potential. Even if it just stays where it is now, it'll be better than 75% of the stuff we've gotten historically. And I hate to say that I'm satisfied with, you know, banality, but.
Yeah, I see a lot of potential if they, I guess right now, and it makes sense, it's kind of playing it safe. You know, it's kind of a quiet show. It doesn't seem like it's going to take many chances, probably in the first season, I would expect. But I do see a lot of potential, too, like you, especially when they start kind of loosening up and, you know, maybe playing around with the characters a little bit more and getting just a little bit more comfortable with the stuff, because right now it feels a little, you know, a little conservative, kind of.
Well,
kinda
remember,
by the books.
It took Beast Wars several episodes to hit a stride.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
The first 5 or 6 episodes of Beast Wars were pretty dull, actually. before they started realizing the characters a little better.
Yeah, true. Let's see here. Let's go ahead and jump to the comic news. Amy is out, but big comic release this week is Infestation number 2. Haven't read it yet, but I plan to after the show. I just didn't get around to it today. So I've been busy. I just got home like right before we started streaming. This has been a busy week at work. So, but let's go ahead and jump to that, and it'll give me a chance to rest my voice. I'm getting kind of sick.
Drink some cheer wine.
I will during the break. We'll be right back.
It's now time for Comic News with Amy Morgan.
Hello, this is Amy. I'm here again for another Comic Corner that I'm not going to be there, so I'm pre-recording this so that everybody can get the comic spot for this week, because there's lots of good stuff in the comic world. Well, at least one good stuff, yeah. Out this week, well, yes, out today, actually, Transformers Infestation number 2. And next week we'll be getting Foundation and Rising Storm. So that'll be the first issue of both of those. So, yes. This week, Infestation number 2 picks up right where we left off 2 weeks ago, with Cup being run through by Bayonet. This issue pretty much proved to me that you don't need to pick up any more of Infestation if you don't want to, or if you don't want to read the titles that have nothing to do with Transformers, because these are the only two issues that are going to have anything to do with Transformers. It does a great job recapping who Britt is, where she came from, how she got there, and what she wants and why. And Cup becomes a very important part of this comic because basically without him, they wouldn't have defeated her. And the downside is that now Cup is sort of dead, but not in the way you think. I can certainly see him coming back when they really want to bring him back to the storyline, besides the age-old truth cliche, Transformers never die. But yes, Galvatron also plays a big role in this issue as well, because it is his idea which helps to defeat Britt slash Bayonet. It's Cup that executes it. So, spoilers. If you don't want to read it, if you don't want to be spoiled, if you're going to read it, stop the video. Go to stop the podcast or plug your ears now for the next 2 minutes because I'm going to spoil it. And yeah. Okay, so Cup has his breakdown we've been wondering about since Spotlight, his Spotlight Cup, and All Hail Megatron issue number 15, where he is turned half pretender, but it's his going crazy that helps him to see that Britt, who by the power of the Undermind can manipulate perception, And that's how she's infiltrated the Transformers in order to infest them. Prowl lays his hand of cards out when he uses his connection to Cup via the protocols he placed there to give Zombie Cup the ability to resist and stop Britt. As she has absorbed the Transformers technology when she infests Cup. And with that, has pretty much trumped anything that the Autobots and Galvatron can throw at her. She means to return to a past Cybertron and infest the Transformers in their past. So to stop her, Cup, who can't shut the portal, just redirects it via Galvatron's idea to send her to the beginning of the dead universe, where there's nothing to feed her for who knows how long. Cup gets sucked into the portal as well. So effectively, he's dead. But since Galvatron used to be in the dead universe as well, and he's clearly back in this issue, we'll see how long Cup stays there. Lastly, Prime now knows what Prowl did. Will there be some sort of fallout and consequences for him because of this? I have no idea, but I hope they do have something with that eventually. But the ending of this comic pretty much sets up the Heart of Darkness miniseries, which will be coming out soon, next month, in fact. And if anything, this two-shot Infestation crossover has jumped into the Transformers universe just long enough to give us a short zombie robot story. And now we've closed this chapter having been thoroughly entertained and looking forward to whatever Abnett and Lanning will be giving us next month. The art by Nick Roach, again, is ace. The coloring by Joanna LaFuente, masterful. Definitely pick these two issues up and make sure you've read Spotlight Cup and All Hail Megatron 15 to have the complete Infestation experience with all its glory. Yes, definitely picked it up myself. I recommend it. It's fun. it basically put the fun back into Transformers comics, which I've been kind of missing for a while. So, yeah. And that will end the comic corner for this week, my friends. Brian, take it away.
You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron, the official podcast of TFormers.com.
So we are back. We were actually talking about Amy got quoted. What was that, Peter?
Yeah, on a I just took a big bite of pizza. and so while we were
– that was excellently timed.
Yes.
Yes, that was awesome. Always. Eating on the air.
Never
I love it. I do it.
We one of Amy's reviews was praised by IDW for being another excellent review by the TFormers.com. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's always fun.
That's awesome. Cool. I still always point to the last end of the records, the back of it where they quote Ender. I love that.
Oh, yeah. Do they still have them on there? Like, is it say Ender, TFormers.com?
No, it just says TFormers.com, but it's from Ender's review of Last End of the Records, which is pretty cool. Yeah, so pretty cool, pretty cool. Okay, so what's going on this week in history? Nothing.
Actually, February 16th, 2011 is the day we ran out of things to talk about.
No, February 16th, 2011 is the day that apparently didn't exist before 2011.
This is true. Yes, this is true. This is true. So, last week I was going to talk about Masterpiece Rodimus, but didn't get to because it didn't arrive.
And then you had, 12 decent hours with it?
Yeah, so...
he did already. Oh, he definitely did already.
Yes, I definitely did. So, I got it, and I'll be honest with you, since getting it, I have yet to successfully transform it. Why? Because I'm afraid to. I've noticed... I've been one of the people who've had a bad experience. I've noticed quite a bit of stress marks on the toy, specifically in the knee, trying to get the knee transformed. And the worst part is, see here? If people watching the video, you can see here. His shin, he has a shin guard that transforms. It pops out and everything. On the right side is fine. The left side, it's not there. You know where it is? It's in my right hand.
Oh, no.
That's where it is.
Oh, is that what you call it now?
Yes. Yeah, so, yes, that's exactly what I call it.
He's a parts former.
He is. There are people who love
it. He's a
Creo. No. I would feel. I wish it was. I was talking to McFeely about it over the weekend, and McFeely loves it. He thinks it's great. To me, it's not a masterpiece toy so much in the sense it really seems like a shell former, and it really seems kind of fragile. Of course, I've had a bad experience. To me, when I think masterpiece, I really think, God help me, and I hate to say this, I think of the Convoy Optimus Prime because it's solid as a rock. You could beat someone to death with it, and it would be okay. It's beautiful. The robot mode is dead on. It's actually way better than any interpretation of that character ever. The vehicle mode, it's passable. It's not bad. I love Masterpiece Grimlock. I think it's great. I think he's the successor to Masterpiece Optimus. Starscream mold, okay. It's fine, I guess. Megatron, it looks kind of funny. And it's a giant gun. I mean, it's like, but I'm not impressed. It's
ooh,
what, John?
I don't know. That's a pretty harsh. It's a pretty harsh review given how hyped this one was.
I wanted this.
Given,
so, isn't it?
Given how expensive it is, you really need to. You really need to expect more from a toy that cost you $100 US.
Robot mode is nice. I mean, that's as far as I've gotten. I've got it halfway to vehicle mode before I was afraid that it would break. Robot mode is nice. The transformation between Rodimus and Hot Rod is simple. Really, you just pop out his hip, which, he's like an old man. But you can see right here, these joints, they pop up and down to make his legs just a bit longer. His shield in the back goes up and down a little bit, and you can pop his face out. That's the transformation. Wait for the Hasbro version. The Hasbro version will be more expendable than this, and hopefully the quality will be better. And hopefully it'll come with Firebolt. No guarantee.
And not a trailer that adds another $100 to the price.
Oh, the trailer. You know, the trailer is not awful, but of course it doesn't necessarily cause damage. It causes marks on the spoiler, but they can be kind of rubbed off or rubbed out. The trailer itself is actually not bad. It's as nice a Rodimus trailer as you could ever want, i.e., you would never actually want this.
Nice.
But, you know, the Rodimus trailer, it's okay. He has the shield, just like, you know, all that. It's not bad. It's just kind of big, and it's honestly kind of superfluous. I really, really, really wanted this before I had it. I thought, no, man, I've got to get the Takara version because it's got the trailer. No, you really don't. Hold off. Hold off for the Hasbro version. It's certain to be better, and if it breaks, you're going to be out a lot less. So,
you know, I got to say in the chat, Diecast17 said this in the chat, and I agree with him, that when you hold it up, it looks kind of dull. I mean, as a toy, it looks dull, and frankly, when you say it looks fragile and feels, I guess, a little chintzy, it looks like it does.
Yeah.
It looks like a hollowed piece of plastic, truthfully.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the Rodimus character, the design, he's really uninspired. It's nice in the sense that it's poseable. The hands don't hold the weapon at all. They're tabs. You see the hole there if you're watching the video? That's where the tab goes in to hold the gun. It doesn't work well. His fingers,
if you wrap the fingers around the handle, it pops them out of the hands, right?
His fingers are not articulated. You know, big deal. But, you know, when the first toy that comes in this line is, you know, Convoy, you expect things like that. But he has sort of a look of dull surprise on his face. For, you know, the Hasbro price, if it goes for what Grimlock goes for or went for, get it, you know. But especially if it comes with Firebolt. I have one of the people, I'm one of the people who can't get the tab in the back to connect no matter what I do. I've tried it 50 million different ways, but it doesn't connect. So the this hangs loosely. I love Rodimus Prime. I love Hot Rod. I'm a huge G1 Season 3 fan. Rodimus is my favorite Autobot leader ever. And so I had high expectations, but don't get the Takara version. Hold off. If you're gonna go blow money, go to eBay and blow $6 on Revoltech Rodimus. You'll be way happier. $6.
I think a lot of people expected a lot more. I mean, the fact that it came broken or stress fractured right out of the box is a huge disappointment.
It's
for
very,
right
for everybody who waited this long, and it was so hyped,
incredibly hyped.
You know,
no, and Kilby's exactly right too. There, you should not have to expect a toy to break immediately when you pay that much money for it.
Well, at any price point, you should not expect a toy to break at any price point.
Well, no, I mean, if you can get something for $2 at Big Lots, there's a reasonable expectation of it breaking.
Yeah, right. I expected my Thomas, you know, transformable Thomas to break within the
first
5 seconds.
Which it did in about 5 minutes.
Yes, it absolutely did. But, you know, that was expected. But when you buy a toy that has been, you know, legitimately manufactured, you know, then you really do expect something good to come out of it.
It needs to be designed more durable than what it ended up.
Yeah, so he's basically going on a shelf, high, far away from prying hands. It's kind of funny. Kim had it and was holding it like this, as hard as she could, and shaking it. But don't do that.
He's gentle. Stop it.
Treat it like you would
a delicate flower.
Treat it like you would a premature baby.
Nice.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, which is sad when you consider, like you said, Masterpiece Prime, you can tenderize meat with it.
You can tenderize meat. And God help me, I don't know why, but I really want the final version now. And I don't even know what the mold changes are, but I want it.
Wait, what mold was this?
The final version. They're making a final Convoy or a final version of that mold. Okay. The last
use. And the base that comes with it is supposed to reveal what the next masterpiece after it is. I'm guessing it's going to be a completely redone new masterpiece Convoy.
That's reasonable, because what sells Convoy?
The black repaint of
well, Convoy is what sells because that's all they sell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, when I bought the Masterpiece Prime in the States, I did not break it. It bit me several times.
Yes.
Like, nice. Especially where the legs, when you have to pull the legs down and you have to pull them back up, it bit me multiple times.
It, you know, it's brilliant engineering. It's a great toy. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not a great toy. It's a great collectible. It's a stretch calling it a toy, I think.
It's definitely not playable.
But, you know, it's nice. It's very nice. You know, that was one of the centerpieces at my desk at my cube when I worked in the old office. I just had it sitting, you know, just standing there, and people would come by and look at it and like, wow, that's awesome. I'm like, yeah, it really is. You know, I bring this and like,
you know,
wow.
It.
I was like, wow, did you get that at Big Lots? No, I really didn't.
Nice. It really does look like a sized up deluxe toy.
It really does. And it's unnecessarily complicated. You know,
just like Masterpiece Prime.
Yeah, I'm gonna be. Yeah. I know I'm in the minority by saying that because there are people out there who love it, but
same people who like alternators.
Yeah, exactly. Triplet has it as well. Triplet regrets it. Triplet's like, man, ooh, I wish I didn't.
Oh.
Should have got. You know, honestly, I wish I'd have picked up the Takara reissue of Predaking instead.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that probably how is that working on you?
It looks nice. It's like,
is it out yet?
Oh, it's been out. It's like Takara's.
Okay. It came out around the same time, right?
No, it came out months ago. A couple months
ago.
Oh,
it did?
Yeah. It's been out around the same time as 2010 Unicron.
Yeah. So they're pretending that Predaking wasn't all, you know, Fisher Price color. So right. He's gold and everything. But it's, you know, it looks nice. And I don't actually I never picked up the Predaking. Takara reissued the Predaking back in 03, 04, 05. And I wanted it really bad. I just didn't have the cash to drop on it at the time. And I really regretted not picking it up. It's one of those – it's up there with what is it? The Diaclone Magnus, the e-hobby that came out several years ago. Which now goes for like $300 or $400. It's insane for such a crappy toy that I want desperately for no reason whatsoever. But it's one of those things that I held off on that I really wish that I hadn't. So I'll probably end up picking that up.
If only I had known that, because last year I sold one of those, and then I sold Shining Magnus.
Well, I never wanted Piss Magnus, but eBay. You know.
Well, you're a good man.
How much did you?
But
how
I
much
did
you
have a Diaclone.
How much did it end up selling for?
It was like 200 and something.
I would have gladly given you that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh well. Okay, let's go ahead and go to the Wiki Spotlight. We'll join JD Church and our pal Chris McFeely. This week, it's a really interesting topic. The Matrix of Leadership.
Hear the TF Wiki Spotlight each week with Chris McFeely on Radio Free Cybertron.
All right, thanks, Brian. And once again, it is time for the TF Wiki Spotlight, brought to us every week by the tireless Chris McFeely. What do we have this week, sir?
Well, I'll tell you, JD, we're getting a little selfish again this week. After Energon and the Old Spark, which were previous TF Wiki Spotlights, this week is my latest project, overhaul, epic, odyssey. It was a big one. The Matrix of Leadership is this week's TF Wiki Spotlight, which I spent a week just overhauling. There's a lot to this article. We kick off with a detailed conceptual history section that details the development of the Matrix across Transformers fiction, because if there's one piece of Transformers lore that has been continuously evolving and having new and different ideas added to it that just reshape the way we understand it, it is the Matrix. So that just begins the page, and it's followed by every appearance of the Matrix in fiction, from the Marvel comics through the cartoon, all the weird obscure Japanese stuff, its allusions in the Beast Era, Dreamwave, IDW, various mangas. And of course, we're not just talking about the Generation 1 Matrix. This is one of those cross-multiversal articles like Energon and the Allspark again. We've got Robots in Disguise. We've got the Unicron Trilogy. We've got the movie. We've got Animated. We've got Prime. We've got all the video games the Matrix has appeared in. We've got every toy that the Matrix has appeared in, be it sculpted in, be it removable, be it a statue, be it a figurine, be it a full-scale transformable toy, be it metal, be it plastic, be it what. Ever. So many that it's on a separate pop-out page from the main Matrix article. This is a big one. It's going to take you some time to get through, so I'm going to stop talking and let you get to it. The Matrix of Leadership is this week's TF Wiki Spotlight.
Radio Free Cybertron will return after these messages.
A new Optimus Prime is here, more powerful than ever. Power Master Optimus Prime.
Power Master Transformers, they've got the power to surprise.
Who's that new Transformer with Optimus Prime?
Double Dealer, the Power Master Mercenary.
Only the Power Master Mercenary can become an Autobot or a Decepticon. But in a flash, Power Master Optimus Prime becomes a super robot.
Power Master Transformers.
Power Master Transformers, sold separately.
I'm running away from home. My parents are mean.
Where will you go?
I'm not sure, but I'll show them.
That's right. You'll show them how mean you can be.
Bumblebee!
Isn't it better to try to solve problems instead of running away from them?
Maybe I could try talking to my parents again.
Yeah, tell them how you feel. And remember, running away
leads nowhere. Now I know.
And knowing is half the battle.
The Transformers! The Transformers, more than meets the eye.
You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show.
The Transformers, more than meets the eye. The Transformers, robots in disguise.
We now return to Radio Free Cybertron.
So we are back. McFeely put in a tremendous amount of time into that article, and he is awesome. That's an incredibly diverse topic. So kudos to Chris McFeely for kicking butt on the wiki again.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Always good stuff.
Always good stuff. So, okay. Toy Fair 2011 was this past Saturday, and we spent all day covering it. Man that was there all day is a guy you know by the name of Bleebum. How much fun did you have Saturday, Bleebum?
Well, if you consider sitting through almost 3 hours in a hall talking about other toys that you really didn't care about, yeah, a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
You pay, Peter.
Yeah, the price I pay. Yeah. It was. It was cool. It was like, you know, Toy Fair is always something different. It's definitely the atmosphere is definitely different than, what you would expect at a BotCon or a San Diego Comic-Con or something like that. It's definitely geared more towards press and less towards the fans. But, you know, obviously, if you're specialized in this type of stuff, then you're obviously a fan. But
so is it all business or there's got to be some energy, right? Yeah.
No. The thing is, Hasbro likes to make theirs the Saturday before Toy Fair begins, or the day before Toy Fair begins for us. But everywhere else, it's more or less strictly pretty much business. It is the toy version of CES, where when you go around, you know, you get to see cool new gear and you get to see cool new toys that are coming out this year, but you... Most of it is business, and you talk to the people. They're mostly store owners who go there to decide how much of a certain something that they should be ordering for the year.
So are we talking companies like Walmart and Kohl's and Target, or are we talking about mom and pops?
I believe it's both. From what I've experienced, it's – you know, obviously Walmart and Kohl's won't be walking around looking at this stuff, but they'll definitely probably send maybe a representative or something like that.
I would expect if those companies are kind of like a company I may work for, those like Hasbro would probably come to them.
Yeah, that's probably it as well. But there are probably smaller companies that just can't make it out to those kinds of things. Maybe like, you know, to Walmart or to Kohl's or something. But there's a lot of, you know, small business, you know, like comic book stores or you know, just local toy shop, specialty toy shops.
And tformers.com.
Right.
Yeah.
So what was the coolest thing that you saw? Actually, we probably should start pulling up pictures, too.
I think the one that probably got a lot of people that I've heard that was more, talked about than most is the Starscream Skystriker.
Yes.
With Cobra Commander.
It is love.
Unfortunately, you know, he is just a repaint of the Sky Striker, so he is not a Transformer.
Which is totally cool with me.
Yeah. His wings transform.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah, for the vertical takeoff thing, I guess. But, I don't know, I think it was interesting.
Not a vertical takeoff jet, Peter. Yeah.
Right, or whatever, wings.
Sorry, plane geek.
What's that?
Back in the day.
I said, sorry, plane geek.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know you were a plane geek.
Planes didn't go vertical takeoff back then?
Yeah.
Well, the F-14 didn't.
Back in what was this, the late 70s, early 80s? Ish.
Well, F-16's been around since what, like the 80s?
Since Top Gun, at least.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, nice, so the 80s. So the F-14s are, it's a long time ago.
Yeah. We're old, buddy. We're old.
Yeah.
What about the mech tech stuff? How did
So I think that I am less. I mean, the mech tech is interesting. You can take weapons and combine them with other weapons to make a mega weapon. So it's nothing new. It seems a lot very like Power Ranger-ish, you know, in the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, where they combined their weapons together and became something of a big Pinky. Gargantuan gun kind of thing.
Okay.
But they also said that, you know, you press a couple buttons, it'll transform itself kind of thing. But I think so it's nothing really new. It's just a little different take on the weapons. They made them bigger. They gave them a bit more of a gimmick kind of thing. But I think, I feel like Cyberverse, out of the three lines for the Dark of the Moon line, toy line, is probably the most interesting, because it has, you know, it's bringing in the playsets, you know, the Arc playset. It's bringing in, you know, interaction with Legends classes, and which are now Legion. This has now been named Legion. I don't know why they changed it.
There are many.
And that, sorry. So that's, I'm sorry?
Nothing. Never mind. I'll just shut up.
That's the Legend class, and then the Scout class has been renamed Commander. But those, you know, they're definitely incorporating different ways to play with these toys, and other than just giving some gimmicky, bigger toys. So I think of all of them, the Cyberverse, is, to me, is the most interesting.
The Cyberverse kind of is like the old MicroMaster playset interactions, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Something like that. And I think it's... I mean, you haven't seen that for a while. So I think bringing it back for the newer generation is definitely more interesting, because, you know, big gargantuan weapons is, it's nothing that kids can't get from other toy lines nowadays.
I'm looking right now at Bumblebee, and I think it looks pretty freaking awesome.
The Cyberverse?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
the Starscream
that.
One's pretty cool, too. And then the Arc playset comes with Roller. I mean,
how big is the Arc playset when it's all opened, would you say? Bigger than a bread box?
He's not. I'm sorry?
Bigger than a bread box?
A bread box?
Never mind.
Awesome. Smaller than a house. And bigger than a mouse.
Peter is younger than you are, XV.
That's awesome.
Which is just disturbing to me.
So, Peter, back in the day when, younger than me. You know, we had bread.
Yeah, people would keep them in boxes, and people would compare things to them in terms of size.
The best part is you have, like, that same word, you have shamed XV for possibly days.
I wouldn't say it is. It's not too big, but it's not too small. I mean, it's something a kid could definitely close up and put in his, like, school bag and take it to his friend's house or something like that.
Or take it from his friend's house in his school bag. And
right, exactly. It's got, like, I guess you could consider it, like, a multi... So instead of, like, a multi-level playset for smaller toys, it's just outwards. Mm-hmm. So it's not too big. It's, like, about that, you know, the size of the Arc. And then when it opens up, it's... So it just doubles that height. So it's just that height, and then it's just higher like that. So it's about that way. It's not too big. It's not too small. I think it's a good size for kids, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Good stuff. Yeah, it sounds like a legit playset.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you haven't seen the video, there's a video on tformers.com about where one of the Hasbro's brand designers actually showcased the features to us.
Nice.
Yeah, awesome.
The Transformers Prime toys are very interesting. They're very it's definitely a new design direction. I've actually never seen toys designed like this before. Yeah, they're very sleek. They're very even the Bumblebee one, despite the fact that it looks kind of bulky, it looks like a power bot, he's pretty sleek. He's actually he's really nice looking.
I think it looks amazing.
Yeah, the Megatron actually got confused with animated Megatron because he's still got that big, you know, the chest, the round chest in the middle, the plastic piece that indents into his chest, and he's got a really broad chest. Prime looks like, you know, just straight out of cartoon. He looks very, you know, animated.
Prime?
He looks very, what's that?
Prime?
Looks yeah, prime? It's very prime. I think Starscream and RC, when you guys see these guys in person, you'll be very impressed because they're very... They're just so streamlined and so sleek. They're pretty nice looking.
I was looking at pictures of Starscream before, and while the robot mode looks pretty good and makes a pretty good match to the animation model, I was kind of disappointed with how much robot stuff there is hanging under the jet.
Yeah, the Bumblebee is actually even more because we had the one rep turn it over, and it's literally just... Bumblebee's head, his arms awesome. Like folded up into the wheels and everything. So it was, but Starscream is definitely he looks, the robot mode wise, yeah, he's looks really good. And jet mode, I guess it really depends on whether or not you flip him over very often. you know, look under his skirt and everything. So it depends on how you look at that. But I accidentally. Knocked RC over.
Oh,
and, awesome!
It fell
and
over
into your satchel,
right? it hit the fake rock display, bounced off, hit the other fake rock display, and then as it went in between the two rock displays into a crevice, it just bounced off of it. And then when we retrieved her, she had not a scratch.
Awesome.
Awesome. The drop test passed.
Yeah. So I did a drop test for Hasbro. They didn't even need to pay me for it. So
did they reward you by giving you RC?
Right. By putting it in my satchel.
You know, that kind of reminds me of the old stories from Toy Fair when Deathy would sneak in and pretty much invariably destroy something.
Right.
In 1999, he tore the display box for Transmetal 2 Megatron.
Yes.
And I think the year after that, he broke the jaw off of Mutant Soundwave. Wow. And then Deffy didn't get to get into Toy Fair anymore.
They are insane. I think it's because of Deffy that they started posting just within the Dark of the Moon thing, which is a very small room. Very, very small. And they had four to five security guards in there.
Wow. Probably.
Were they armed?
Yeah. No. With mates.
With Nerf guns.
Each display had at least one security guard on either side.
Awesome.
So that is probably the aftermath of Deathy because of him breaking stuff. And they'll freak out. Like, if your hand is anywhere close to the toy, they'll be like, oh, don't touch it. Even my camera strap, I didn't have it on my wrist, and they were like, be careful your camera strap. I was like, it's probably not going to kill your toy, but all right.
Nice.
You might have razor blades hidden.
They're made out of radium now, so, I mean, they're not.
So, Peter, the chat has a question. Were all the Prime toys you saw deluxe size?
Yeah.
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 How did the kids look? I mean, obviously they're plastic and they don't do anything, but were the sculpts nice in person?
Were they so small you couldn't really tell that well?
It wasn't bad. I mean, I didn't really pay too much attention to them, but I know in the official press photos they look a little crappy, but, you know, they're on par. I don't think they're they don't look too bad. They're a little glossy, obviously, because that's where the press photos came off as, but they're not bad. Okay. I think it's
at this point they're probably still hand painted anyway. There's no color molding on them yet.
Yeah.
Awesome! I got the guns on Revoltech Rodimus now. Awesome.
Get your guns up.
Good. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I mean, what did you see? I mean, just briefly, what else did you see? Anything cool? How did the new G.I. Joe figures look?
I didn't pay too much time in the G.I. Joe section, unfortunately, because when they let us out, they said you have 1 hour to take anything, any pictures, and look at anything that you needed to look at.
And Jay probably jumped on that anyway.
Yeah, and Jay has a much faster camera than I do.
And a much greater love for G.I. Joe.
Right.
Nice.
They did come out with... what did they come out with? That was Star Wars, where they had a Revenge of the Jedi.
Yes, that was the San Diego Comic-Con stuff. It's like a 12-pack.
Yep, and they're going to have a box that looks similar to the Death Star, and you're going to open that sucker up, and you get 12 on-card figures just hanging out in there, and you get 2 minifigures as well. So it's going to be quite an exclusive for you to haul home. I don't know how you're going to take it home, because that's a really big-ass box. It was huge. I mean, you can just imagine 6 figures on either side arranged in a circular pattern. It's just going to be a gargantuan
Fortunately,
box.
I'm not too worried about the Star Wars set, but I'm going to definitely have to get someone to pick me up the Starscream and Cobra Commander. I don't know that that'll make it to Hasbro Toy Shop the next week.
You wouldn't be... There are definitely toys that immediately get sold out very, very quickly.
Yeah, so I may have to get Jack or Gabe or somebody to pick that up. Cool. Anything else on that?
And then Wisey?
Wise.
Wise. The answer to that is they say. I don't know if this is actually
what did
true.
What did he ask? What did Wise ask?
He was asking about Dark of the We're doing the revenge, what did he say? I hate you, stream.
The Jedi were doing the revenge thing?
Jedi doing revenge stuff, and then it either doesn't scroll or it scrolls all the time. It annoys the hell out of me. So pretty much what they said was, what they claim is that George Lucas, up to the end, was that it would be naming it Revenge of the Jedi.
Oh, yeah, that was the name. That had hats and everything made as Revenge of the Jedi.
And so they say that these were the figures that they made prior to the Switch. Because it used to be like Kenner, right? Kenner used to make it. I guess they revisited those molds or something like that.
Huh, that's weird. I mean, you would think that they would just, have kept the molds and that they I don't know.
Because they're doing the same thing with Indiana Jones. They said that they have a lost wave for Indiana Jones, and they're also doing 6 figures as well. And they said the packaging is going to be very similar to the Death Star packaging, although obviously not as gargantuan.
Yeah, awesome.
I'm not sure if it's better if this is true or not. Because it's true, if they literally lost waves, that's kind of embarrassing. And if it's just a big marketing lie, I don't know what to think about that either.
Yeah. Anything else, guys? We probably should just skip Twitter Theater because Rob's not here. Rob lost connection before the show. Skype was giving
that's issues. So sad. It's a good one too.
Come
we can do it next week.
We'll table it.
We'll table it. Yeah, I honestly can't talk about it because I have no freaking clue what it is.
Yeah, but otherwise you watch every week.
Yes, absolutely. I do. I started watching this, and I just didn't know any what's going on. What's been going on in the chat this week, John?
I think everybody's really, really enjoyed Peter's Toy Fair recap. Other than some of the questions about, what exactly were the size class of the Transformers Prime figures? I mean, that was a big deal. To that point, I don't know if Peter, you, or any of the other news sites asked if we were going to get other size classes or if it was going to be deluxe for now, and we'll get back to you as far as TF Prime. I don't know if that question was asked or answered.
No, they, as far as I know, that question was not asked. They definitely did say that, which is, it's actually kind of annoyed me because they took a lot of time talking about random crap that nobody cared about. Like, they would have had a Q&A. You know, Jeff, you know, Mike Vogel is always not cool to listen to. Like, the dynamic between Jeff Klein and Mike Vogel, as you guys saw during BotCon, is actually a really good dynamic. They're really good at poking fun at each other, and they keep it lively. But it was definitely a colossal waste of time in terms of in terms of asking, you know, certain questions that didn't really add anything to you know, just the presentation of the toys or the series. They took their time on the other three Hasbro brands, and then when they got to Transformers, they're like, oh, we're just gonna rush right through this, and then they just ran through the whole presentation, and it was the shortest one of all three, of all four. And and they said, all they pretty much said was, oh, just stay tuned, we're gonna reveal more throughout the year.
Interesting.
Which Mysterious. I don't know, I'm not sure if they mean like we're gonna bank we're gonna hope that Prime actually lasts or the Hub lasts. I'm not sure what that means exactly. But fans will be happy to know that Generations will continue in one capacity or another. But
that's good.
From what I've understood, that Transformers Prime is its own line and not under the Transformers Generations.
That's
brand.
Good to know. Good to know.
Yeah, that's good. Be a lot of packaging on that shelf, but that's okay.
Yeah,
because Roboverse, MechTech, and Cyberverse will each have their own distinct packaging looks.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be a mess.
So Cyberverse, they just use that color scheme that you saw from the Toy Fair logos that we saw, but they're going to be three distinct packages.
Okay, sure.
Plus, don't forget Rescue Robots.
I like those. You know, actually, listening to the description, it didn't make a lot of sense as to what you guys were talking about. But seeing them, they look pretty nice. Yeah, I like them.
They, you know, for the target audience that they're pointing towards, you know, these are, you know, they're very appealing looking. They're very, they're very cool. Like the fire truck that they had. You know, in the picture, you're like, man, this looks kind of dumb. But then when you see it in person, it looks pretty sweet. It looks, you know, it looks like a regular fire truck, like a play school fire truck. And then you pull the ladder, and it pops, and it goes, bam, it transforms into a robot.
It's like Rescue Roy.
Yeah, exactly.
Sweet.
Yeah, so,
yeah, they're very go-go-go-bots.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And they definitely didn't try to pass it off as anything else but that. So
interesting.
Cool.
It's so that's going to be I guess it's going to be either an exciting year, an overloading year, or a very poor year for Transformers.
Your opinions may vary,
right? Depending on how much money you have.
How about that? How about an awkward
you may have
year?
To buy? You may have to pay some money to expand your house to get another room.
I'm probably going to move sometime this year.
Look at you, Brian.
I'm going to have to get a bigger house.
For your toys, can you just knock down a wall too?
Well, I'm going to move probably, most likely, in the next few months. So, most likely,
awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Sweet.
Well, as long as it doesn't interrupt the podcast,
it may interrupt it for a week. Maybe not.
Oh, we can do a special on the road, RFC on the road, yeah, on the moving truck.
That would be awesome. Okay. Well, I guess that probably does it for Radio Free Cybertron this week. Like I said, we will have Rob on next week to talk about Twitter Theater. We may do some sort of strange supplemental in Rob's blog. Who knows? So for the guys, we will be back next week. If you're watching live, stay tuned for New Soundwave.
Ooh.
67. Can you give us a preview, John? What are we going to talk about?
I can. I sure can. So this week, one of the most anticipated games in memory was released. So we're going to talk a little bit about Marvel vs. Capcom. We're going to talk about, Leisure Suit Larry 8. We're going to talk about that. Monkey
serious.
Island 7. Anyway, no. So anyway, one of the most anticipated games in memory has come out. So Marvel vs. Capcom 3. It's
There's
been almost 11 years since the last one. So we'll talk about that, and then we'll get into a bigger discussion on fighting games in general. But the trick is, what makes this a juicy story, is Marvel vs. Capcom 3. I'm not going to say it's broken on day one of the release, but it may be close. And there's some gamers that are upset, buddy.
Yeah,
upset.
I've heard that. Okay, so before Rob jumps on, let's end things. Hey, Rob, you're here for the end of the show.
Lovely. I came on just in time.
Do you want to talk about Twitter Theater before we go?
I'm pretty sure the little Welch's Grape Juice Girl could kick that band's ass.
Well, Brian hadn't even played a clip yet.
I haven't played a clip. I wasn't going to.
So that's like a cryptic
we were literally wrapping up the show. You want to do it next week?
Sure.
Tease it.
I don't even know what I'll do.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, hold.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Show us some skin, buddy. Farmer's tan.
There's more that. Okay. There's more where that came from.
I'm ending this. We will see you all next week. Thank you for watching and we're listening.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.